the law kiddush.
This is the spirit of the law kiddush.
It's hopefully the last kiddush. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So up to chof vov. Wine with a taste like vinegar. Even if it smells like wine, it's not wine. You can't make kiddush in this wine. Doesn't even make a bread perkoff. It doesn't even have a regular blessing. It's like any other vinegar. You can't, if you want to drink it, you make a shakel like water. It's not anything if it's not going to damage.
How do you know if you have made a blessing?
Hopefully, you're able to figure it out. If not, the first taste, you didn't make kiddush on wine. You made kiddush on nothing. Usually these cases happen afterwards. I mean, the whole barrel of wine is finished. And my kiddush was zero, and the brachas was zero, because I didn't make it on wine.
How do you know whether it's like really dry wine, which you can't stand, or vinegar?
See, I saw this discussion, actually. So Sofer discusses a case of someone who this person said, I hate this wine. I hate it. I can't stand it. So can I use it for kiddush or not? Like, I hate this wine anyway, and then someone made it even worse, but I don't like it. It's no better or worse to me. So everybody hates it now because of what happened to it. I don't care if it's no better or not. I don't care. Tough luck. You can't be kiddush on it. No. No, that's what Sofer says. So, you know, it has to be something that a normal person who likes dry wine likes. Then if you hold your nose and drink it, I guess it works. This is wine. And it, you know, gave your body whatever nutrients it gave your body. But, or grape juice. But if you don't like it, better use bread or whatever you're supposed to use in terms of kiddush, or like even before. But as long as it's good.
We normally don't drink wine, so we're so used to grape juice that if someone gives us wine, it's like, ooh.
Maybe it's not for you to drink then.
Okay.
You know, that's presumably. But I don't, in terms of if you had no choice, if it worked out that way, you use whatever you got. Okay, so, usually. But, he said, if it tastes like wine, but it has a smell of vinegar, he said, it's still wine. The main thing is the taste. It's maybe not wonderful, not perfect, but it works. It's good. So in terms of the Chassidus here, there are different aspects, so different Bechinus. There's an aspect that's called smell. There's an aspect that's called taste. Taste is what's really going on inside. The smell is how things appear. This is why the Bresh Chassid would say, we find the source from our sages, that there's someone who's filled with pride. He's got a terrible spiritual odor. There's like something there, not good. Again, he might have just gotten out of the shower, I don't know what he did, he makes it smell great, but really, inside, anyone who really senses it is like, this guy is bad, you don't care to go near him. And someone who has humility is better, a different act. Someone who's yearning for Hashem, it's better, it's depending where he is, depending what he wants. So, that's this aspect. There's, in, you know, is something what's inside, and there's something what the way it appears, the way a person appears. So there are different ways of using even arrogance. Sometimes a person can use it as a kind of cover. I forgot who it was. One of the big Hasidic masters, Rabbeinu, would tell over about him that we'd say it's like somebody who has a diamond. He wants to hide it. So he says, "Where can I put it? I have to put it in the garbage." He goes in a very rich way, but he's very, very connected. He's very, very only thinking of God. He's very, very humble. And that's who he is, really. So it's like it's hidden. He goes this way, he goes that way. But really, what's going on? But of course, that's a tzaddik. Usually, we're wearing the garments that are too fancy. We're not going to do too well. We're gonna possibly fall or have a hard time. So there's an aspect of the way things seem, and then there's what's really going on inside. You know, at the turn of the century, Slabodka came here, Yeshiva Slabodka, and there were a lot of people who weren't too thrilled with Slabodka. These guys were going, usually, you know, you walk around and see these people, Yerushalmi, the way the Yerushalmi go, that was how most people went. So here are these guys, they looked really modern, wearing suits, hair. And in that time, Yerushalayim, they weren't wearing that type of hairstyle. Usually people who were leaving Torah wore that hairstyle. So there were like some people who were like a little reaction. They said, I don't know, this is Yeshiva, what, this guy's alright, he's normal, like, what's his deal? So they asked Rabbi Yosef Zonnenfeld, they said, why don't you sign against him? He said, I'm not signing against him. I won't. I'm not signing. So even though if someone from here had done what he's doing, he's changing something. By the way, where he comes from, everyone goes that way. That's how your regular guy, young man, he dresses. That's how he wears his hair. So you can't tell me he's good or bad based on how he looks because of our standard. It has nothing to do with our standard. It's a different world. And of Epstein, when he heard he got wind of this, he said, "You should tell them they're making a mistake. They think I'm taking yeshiva boys and making them into these strange university sort, you know, anti-Torah people, let's say." This time university meant the yarmulke disappears. That was the way it was, because you had to prove yourself that I am a normal person who believes in equality of man on every level, and I'm not one of these people from the Stone Age who believes in these archaic rules. So you had to show that, or you were out. You were not. It was a very exciting time of human rights and how to treat each other and how to comport oneself with other people. Many people, Rishos Lam was studying, went to university, and even he was supposed to bring the Jewish students back, and he just went, he lost it, and he knew everything. He was very connected, and he still lost everything. It's very hard to hang strong in those years at university. He said, "But that's not what I'm doing. I'm taking the boys who are the university type of boy, and he looks however he looks, and I can't change how he looks outside. And I'm not even trying to. I don't care. I want inside. And I'm making him inside into real and genuine." And he maybe, you know, again, if people wore beards here, maybe he shaves in a halachically permitted way. Maybe and it's not the usual fare, but inside, he's a flame fire for God. He's just thinking about Hashem. He's no, you know, I'm doing the other way. So that's this aspect of there's a smell, there's what seems to be, but you can't tell. You don't know. You don't always know. It's not easy to tell who, where are you, where aren't you. The main thing is experience. What's inside? If what's inside is nothing, you know, you're just wearing a hat. Well, you know, you can put a hat and a jacket on a monkey in the zoo. And if you find a billy goat, he's got a very long beard. I'm like, who cares? Like, where are you inside? Where am I inside? You know, like one, who was it? Rav Shmueli. He said, the Taliban, you know, they also have big beards. They wear black robes, but the guy's cutthroat murderer. Maybe he wouldn't kill anyone for any reason. In name of his religion, so that's not great. I mean, that's not wonderful. What does the beard mean? It doesn't mean it means something if you're connecting, using it, not the same thing with dressing, the same thing with all these.
What was that story? Was it Scotland that he made it? Was it the UK and the Rebbe approached the Rebbe, and there was like, you know, you're like, wow, that's 10 years, you know, you're schmoozing, and Hasid didn't understand, and it's Rebbe, how can you do it? Like almost having you do this with his yid there, and he's no beard, no pants, no nothing. Well, you know, they ask him, Rabbi Yid, where's your beard? They ask you, Rabbi Yid, where's your yid?
Yeah, where are you? No, for sure. He was very into. He was very strong about protecting, not dropping. But it didn't mean he didn't appreciate who was really someone or who wasn't really someone. He knew. He was very, very discriminating about who's really holding and who's, you have to be, you have to be. There was someone who was a criminal. And he had to go to court. And he said, shave your beard, drop your pace. Don't worry, he didn't listen. You did what you did. You did misdemeanors, you're trying to defend yourself, you're going to make a terrible finish on the name, get rid of that beard. No beard, no pay as you go back. Now you don't stand that way, you go regular, baseball cap. You know, not that the big yarmulke and the hat, no, none of that. Just like a regular guy, because you acted like a regular guy, now you're going to make kill a shot. And it's a pity people don't pay attention to where, you know, that's in his email letter. Who said it? Even though he was very poor, there's an exception to every rule. You are the exception. You get rid of that. That's what he said. Okay, so the next tip, he says, what happens? Person, I want to make wine out of raisins. If the raisins or the grapes are very, very dry, they're so dry that there's no moisture to them at all. He said, they're no good. They don't serve the purpose. You can't make wine out of that. If there's some moisture at least, so then, if you even crushing these raisins or whatever, these grapes will come out a little moisture, so that's good enough. To make wine, you add water, you make wine, him you can make Kiddush. So, lakachtem et Isaac? Thanks. So, so this inyan of having that little bit to bring out the pnimius inside, we need to, there's the magid, he gave you sod, he gave a principle, foundation principles. You need to hold on to at least a little bit of the fire. When you're dried out, when you're done, if you have a little drop, it's easy to reignite. If you're done, you're extinguished, you have to relight the fire. So we're trying to hold on. We hold on by having good thoughts, by yearning. There's a lot of ways of how I hold on. Trying, doing whatever I can. Like that's, those are all ways. Like I'm holding on little drop, a little bit, to Torah, to Hashem. If I don't have that little bit of moisture, then there's no kiddush. You can't bring holiness. The holiness is gone. You got to restart all over again. And we are in Nachman tells us, okay, so start all over again. Not a problem. But we have to try very much to focus and hold on to that little bit. Hold on a little bit. It's such a difference from just remembering Hashem with a little bit of my consciousness, a little bit of myself, just yearning or trying, remembering what I'm doing, focusing on what I'm doing, trying to sleep in order to get up so I should be able to do my work for the next day. And I want to remember Hashem, every bracha, every movement, whatever I'm doing, I'm trying, I'm, you know, on a very low level, on a very simple level, just talking to Hashem, just trying to create this chain. I want to chain myself. I want to be completely bonded with Hashem at all times. That's what we're working on, to keep the fire burning, even a little drop. So then the kiddush, it works, it's fine. If not, it's time to begin again. If you don't have wine at all, make kiddush on bread. How do you make kiddush on bread? He says, well, you take the bread in your hands, make the hamotzi, you have to hold the bread. You sit down in your place, and you say hamotzi. And then you say, vayichud. So, you hold in your hand, and you say, vayichudu, the first part of kiddush. At that time, the bread should be covered, he says. Then you should reveal it, take it, uncover it, and say hamotzi. You do not cut it yet. You say the bracha of kiddush, right? While he's still holding the bread with both hands, and then he cuts and eats and gets it out. That's the order of kiddush.
So you say, according to me, you say the bracha of kiddush itself, the bread of the
No, hamotzi. The bracha of kiddush is shekhev shon b'sav rasa vanu. The whole bracha we say hamotzi first. Yes.
Is this love Shabbos?
Even anytime. Yeah.
Okay, anytime. No, yeah. Lo Shemayim, Amosi, and then what's the book?
And then you say Asher Kishon Sabrat Savano, all these different the whole list of Kiddush. That's what you say. The whole.
So you're saying the bracha first or Hamosi?
The same as you do on wine, except instead of the bracha on wine, substitute the bracha on bread and hold the bread.
So you're washing first before doing
the
whole thing?
Yes, for sure. Definitely.
Why is it not an upset? You say Shirkishan.
Because you're not allowed to eat without having a kiddush. Yeah, and it's all part of the kiddush.
Is it definitely just
yes, this is according to everyone. There's a question maybe whether you have to hold the time, or is it uncovered or not uncovered. But actually, one way or another, you do uncover, maybe uncover it to begin with. It's like a whole. But the kids are. What he's saying is generally the way it's done. So you have to hold it. Hold the bread in your hand, just like you hold the cup in your hand when you make kiddush.
Oh, so you hold the bread like this?
Yeah. Okay, that should be enough to have one hand.
What do you do with the other hand? Put it on top?
Yeah, you can hold the bread. You hold it together. Yeah.
So for Friday night, where the hamotzi is in the center of the brachas, you have a bracha before and bracha afterwards.
You had the bayichulu before and the bracha afterwards, that's right?
Right.
Uh-huh.
So then you say the whole thing.
Well, you keep it covered for bayichulu.
Right.
And then you uncover it and make hamotzi.
Right.
And you're still holding it. You continue with the last bracha.
Then you when you finish with the last bracha, then you slice
it. You can make a little nick at the very beginning before Vayichud, you can make a little sign of where you're going to cut. Since then, once you have both hands, while you make a motzi, any time in the week also, once you have both hands on the bread, if he's making a motzi for everyone especially, so he holds the bread with two hands, he makes a motzi. So here I'm making a motzi. So now I don't take my hand away, just because I only need one hand now. I leave him there. That's how he's doing it. That's only at night. By day, there's no recognizable, you don't recognize that kiddush is instead of the motzi. You don't say special bracha, it's just you just say like on the bread. Therefore, it's better to use beer or something else if you don't have wine. You drink a revius, you say shako, and then you make the mochi on the bread like usual.
Really?
Yeah.
It's not a bracha.
What?
Have you made shako?
No. Make kiddush, showing it's for Shabbos. Otherwise, it's like a mochi anyway.
Did you
say Chama Medina? Yeah, beer or something, or the like. If he doesn't have, or it's so terribly sharp for him, he can't drink it without like being pained. It's too sharp. So he can make a motzi. He can if you have to. Nevertheless, first, before you say a motzi, say like you usually say by Yeshiva Shamru, Zachar, that's what one says. Especially by a motzi, you should say something to show it's for Shabbos, and not just like any day when he makes a motzi. You know, in Breslov they would say the person who gives tzedakah is not the one who has a lot of money, it's the one who wants to give. There was a certain not wealthy person. You heard about this orphan who wanted to get married, didn't have any parents. Time to get married, he had no money, nothing. And he didn't even get much money to get married, but he had nothing. So the collector tzedakah goes around to people and says, can you help? And it was in Yerushalayim at those times. I mean, people think this maybe they're suffering today, but today, if you need a sandwich, there's a place to go, you don't have to pay anything, several places, it's easy. Those years, it was impossible. Like, there was very little food, and people would starve to death. It was exactly right. So the food was exactly right. So he said, I'm sorry, I can give you a little bit. So as the Gamba is leaving, he said, no, actually, come back. So he came back, and he gave him a nice thumb. He said, what happened before? So you don't have any money. Now suddenly you get, where'd this thumb come from? So I made a simple calculation. I'm supposed to make kiddush on wine, right? So I have money set aside for wine the whole year. But I realized I don't have to make kiddush on wine. I can make kiddush on bread and enable this wedding. So I'm giving you the money. I'll make kiddush on bread. It's the same bread. I saved all that money. Kiddush on wine, okay, it's important, but it's not like getting had to marry people and giving me their ability to start a new life together. That's much better. That's how he explained the sometimes it's maybe better to make a kiddush on bread. I mean, his kiddush on bread is higher than him. His kiddush on wine is not. He saved people's lives with their kiddush. That's not.
So can we do the same thing?
Meaning,
instead of spending money on wine, give it towards tzedakah.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's worth using wine or grape juice. It's not expensive for us usually. It's a little bit of a. And the money we give, we're not going to enable a wedding. Used to be wine was very expensive. You spill the cup, what do? This and that. It's like today, it's like it costs nothing.
It's 30 shekels a bottle.
Okay, it's not that much for a Shabbos. Use one bottle and save 30 shekels. You can give them 30 shekels to what? For what? The extra 30 shekels. It's not necessarily going to have the power that what he gave it a lot. If you were using a $100 bottle of wine, then yes, I would say, especially use one or two a week, then it would be a serious question. It's like, hey, you're 200 shekels. This is like money, at least, something to think about. Again, I don't know, you can ask someone else or work it out. Maybe there is such a point you can make on bread. Not if it doesn't work, it doesn't. But I think it's a little bit less worthwhile because it's not clear. Okay, by night, you have a special bracha. By day, it looks like you're just maybe eating the bread. But then you have two breads and you say a little bit before. It works, it does work. But maybe you have to see, you have to think. For him, it was very, very important because he saved people's lives instead of buying an expensive commodity. For us, it's like wine. It's like nothing. Usually it's no big deal. Get a kilo or two of organic vegetables, and you already cover the whole bottle of wine. It's not, it's just not the big. expense usually. But you're right, if people use lime really, really, you say, well, there's just not food. No food for people. Really? Then you do it. You say, no, you have, I'm going to get loaves of bread for people, and they're going to eat it. You definitely do it. You should give, instead of 10%, you should give 20%. So it's when the person's obligated. You have to, unless he's not going to have enough for himself. That's when you have to give 20%.
You can use bread for Kiddush. Can you use Kiddush for a mozi?
Again?
You said you can use bread for Kiddush, wine.
Mm-hmm.
Can you use wine for mozi and red bread?
No, but if you're in trouble, you don't have food, or you don't feel like eating for a night, you say, I cannot eat for whatever reason, so you can put the meal off. You have mezonos, you make kiddush. Tomorrow you have two meals. It could work. Sometimes you have a kiddush, and then you have no choice. Tomorrow you just can't. It didn't happen. Some simcha bris or something, whatever it was, I just can't do it. So you can't, there's a way of pushing off the meal, but it's supposed to be bread, especially those first two. And I was reading, boy, we'll see about the Sudash Lish, the third meal, so sharp. The Gemara tells us that it saves from the pains of the war of Gog and Magog, which might, Rav Nachman says, they're not going to fire one shot. It's just going to be a Amunah war. That's what it now. This isn't definitely one bullet shot. It's just going to be something like they're going to come after one's Amunah. And today, it's not that hard to see it with our nice little internet. It's hard. It's hard to be strong, not to go who knows where or who knows what. So,
is it now?
It might be. I'll tell you better in 20, 30 years. I don't know. Let's see how things are going to get. Again, I always like to quote this big breast authority. He said in the 70s, people are doing all these terrible things. There's no morals anymore. They couldn't get worse. And it's so amazing. Whoa, it couldn't get worse. It could, unfortunately. He was a very, very real person, a really great person, but he did not have the foresight to see how bad people can get. It really got worse. And now we already know, unfortunately, unless something changes, it's going to get worse. I hope not, but...
You like the book, the story we said.
Which one?
The
The
master prayer.
Yeah, master prayer. They're going to get worse. He says they're going to get worse too. We feel that way now. Let me see research what they're trying to do. And you say, so you're just going to abolish marriage? Like, what are you doing? No, we're doing our research. It doesn't matter. We don't care about results. We're just going to do it. It doesn't matter. It'll be bad for people. It'll be good for people. We don't care. Robots for everything. And we don't care. You can be on Facebook, you have your robot, you don't need to ever talk to anyone in your life. It's like, you're kidding. No. That's what you have, your robot. It's value. You're out of your mind. No, we can make money. We don't care about it. It's again, back to the land of wealth. We can make money. We don't care about it. Good for people, bad for people. That doesn't matter. We care about the environment, but we don't care. And it's important to care about the environment. I'm not saying no, but that's important. But people, that they should have a real life. Have genuine something real that doesn't matter. Meaningless. Doesn't matter. You turn around and say, I can't believe this. It's like, yeah, okay. Great. Like I said, unfortunately, it looks like it's getting darker, not lighter. And I hope Hashem helps. What can I tell you? Hashem should help. There's a lot of incredible kindness in the Western world today. It's a lot of kindness for all the strangeness, maybe, but there's a lot of kindness. Lack of morals, people don't know better, but there's a lot of kindness.
There's 7 billion potential sources of kindness. It's a lot of potential.
Yes, it is. No, but I mean, there are different morals. Like, there are places where they're against technology, but they're against a lot of other, it's like, they're against a lot of other things also. Like, it's a little, Islam is a little bit interesting how people can somehow slide into the 7th century. It's like, I'm in the 7th century now. I do everything 7th century style. It's like, whoa. 7th
century be having all the gadgets
that's only to from after it. It could be some of the, they're against a lot of, I mean, there's a lot of modern comforts which don't somehow reach the Arab population of many, many Middle Eastern countries. They just don't bother, like plumbing, infrastructure, like bathrooms, so you don't have that at all. Maybe some countries, I don't know, I can't say. I know here there's a lot, like whatever's in the, you just don't build houses that way, don't bother. But in Jerusalem, they do, like whatever's under the Israeli government does, but whatever is in their own place.
Oh, there's enough illegal building in Tel-Bit Mizrach, just you know, a few houses down from us, in the Arab village, or next to the Arab village, or whatever they can do. I mean, they live better than we do.
Somewhat. It depends how you are, but again, usually you'll find...
I mean, for square footage.
Yeah, the bathroom is kind of lacking. And it's just not... I mean, I spoke with a soldier. In Uman, there was no bathroom on the way somewhere, and he tried to encourage one of my kids. He's like, listen, don't worry, I know what it's like. I was in Jenin in the war, and I'm telling you, it's the same every year. Like, this is a palace. There's no toilet. Like, how could that be? And he's like, yeah. They think the same thing in Russia. It's okay. It's great. Just, you manage. I don't think he managed, but whatever. Anyway, it's just not his thing, but like, it's, that's just the way it is. So there's a lot of modern opportunities, which is only for the privileged, unfortunately. So it's like kind of this struggle, and one side's somehow getting weaker. We're just so material, and more material, and more material. I don't even care. Let them kill each other in Iraq. I just want to go like this. Okay, like that's how people feel. It's unbelievable.
But aren't
this
we getting...
not going to stay in Iraq,
aren't we getting closer and closer to what Rabbi Nachman said in the Master of Prayer?
Yes, we are. But the question is how. We see a little. We see a little. We see some improvement. It's not simple. We do see. But it's not... it's not... it's not... let's say... a smooth ride. It's a smooth... it's all smooth sailing. It's all easy. We don't see that right now. We don't see that. We don't know where we're going. We don't know what's going on. We hear it's miraculous, we can't believe, how do we, like I said, I don't remember how many attempts they keep trying to kill and maim, do anything, it just doesn't seem to work, I don't know what it is, you know, somehow it's called divine providence, but you don't see it so easy, but, you know, another missile, this from the school, this from the road, this one next to this one, next to that one, like somehow they just can't hit much, it's like unbelievable, Russia. So, as one secular Jew put it, well, actually he's not Jewish. Said they must be very inept. Very inept. That's
very what?
Inept. They're just unable to do anything. They just can't get it together. Again, in other countries, they see somehow they can't get it together. I don't know why. It's a big question why. But here, somehow they just can't get it together. Okay, fine, whatever.
Well,
however you look at it.
They interviewed the commander of Hamas. He says everything's computerized. We have Google Maps. All we have to do is press the button and tell the missile where it is. Where it is, where it's going, everything's set. And we have an excellent outfield team.
Yeah, so there's no way to beat it, for sure. They use a lot of primitive, too. For sure they use also primitive. I mean, I don't know, again, I'm not familiar with the infrastructure. I just believe in Hashem. He's taking care of us. And he'll take care of us. But I hope it won't get darker before it gets lighter. That would be sad. Very sad. He said the last place Torah is going to go before he goes back to Israel is America. He listed, he listed all the places. And then he burst into tears. So what does that mean? I have no idea.
Oh, I know exactly what it means.
Maybe. Maybe you do.
I mean, just look at the stats.
Chaim Volozhiner. Sanhedrin went to so and so many places. What was it, seven, I think? It was seven. And they said, also here, it went to this many places as well. And the last one's America, and then what's going on? What does that mean? I have no idea. I just know that it's very challenging.
Is there just like a seat of Torah at one location in all of the Galus?
Yeah, sure. There have been main places where everything comes out of there.
Yeah. The Babylon.
Maybe it was 11. I don't remember how many times. I don't remember how many times. There were.
Sure. Real place,
the main thing.
And now here in Israel?
Pretty much. It's getting. It's hard to know. I mean, most Jews presumably are living here. That's what most people are saying. Like I said, I think there might be ramifications for Truman Meisner, maybe. That needs to be worked out. We Yitzchak is more complicated. It used to be everyone in the whole Jewish rabbinic, now it's already not so simple, because there are opinions, there are strong opinions that most Jews are Yisrael.
How do
they
know?
The
Gedolim have like a silly new Shemaim or something that all the Jews are here?
It's brought in the Gemara. In the Gemara, that most Jews are here. They're from the verse. Most Jews are here.
After all the intermarriage, how do you go out in the world counting all these
Jews? On the contrary, the more intermarriage there is, the more likely you have more of them here. It gets even easier.
I hear it.
Again.
I hear that.
It seems like, again, we were speaking about it. Remember, well, Jack, you said
over. I spent a good month on Pew Research Institute study.
Yeah.
And what they did was they worked extremely closely with Brandeis University to actually locate communities. And then when they did that, they really hunkered down on the questionnaires to find out exactly what the questionnaire should be. Because the last survey they did in 2000 was an absolute disaster, and they did not want to repeat that. And so they spent a good 2-3 years just working on it before they even did the telephone calls. And the sigma is large enough so that they have a ±3% error rate, which is extremely low. And they came out to a total halakhic population of 4.4 million Jews in the United States.
Wow.
Now, out of those, you have 1.3 million are Christians, Buddhists, Muslims, you know, the people that are totally
so they took into account, like for example, I got first cousins whose parents are Jewish, and they don't know if they're Jewish, and then they have kids. And like, it could be that like they marry a Jewish girl because they were friends and they have kids and it's not really, they're not really connected to anything.
Well, if you go to JerusalemCast.com, click on Survey of America 2013, something like that. It's like the fourth page down. You'll see it, and I have a copy of the questionnaire, I have a copy of the Brandeis study, all the graphs and everything else. What they came up with is basically the Jewish population is getting older, is dying, literally dying out, because the majority of the Jews are in the first generation that made immigration to the United States in the 20s, from 1880 to 1920. And that's 100 years ago. So they're dying out. The following generation was even less because they didn't have as many kids, and also the influence of the reform.
That's what we need: kids. Yeah, we have all these guys that have billions of dollars, successful Jewish people. They should give everybody money. If you have a kid, I'm going to give you X number of dollars. You just have kids, and I can get rid of their money. Help us have more kids.
Try that here again. 50 shekels per kid. You get really wealthy.
And the wrong people get having kids. That's the problem.
Exactly.
Well, to advertise, I have two daughters. One's turning 18.
50 kids. They can live in a ranch.
Just click on JerusalemCast.com. Click on the section of neighborly cookbooks and look at the author section. That's also for sale on Amazon and Creative Space. Enough commercials.
I'm sure the recipes are fantastic.
They've been all tested except the werewolf section. And that's modified. Well, I mean, instead of using leg, we use chicken or lamb or beef.
Okay, so let's do a little bit of Kiddush and Nari. Now we'll do a little bit better. We'll drop the Nari, and then we'll move on to the Torah Bear session.
All right.
I think that there's one thing that needs to be said about Kiddush.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if you're Jewish, that any Kiddush you make is better than not making a Kiddush. That's a personal opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Some people would say, don't trample on Kiddush. I mean, that's a holy thing. But I think that people need to, if all you can say is thank you, God, for this wine, or thank you for Friday night, or thank you for Shabbos, you can't really even, acknowledge it. Acknowledge the space, acknowledge the time. I think that's very significant.
For sure, for sure. There are different levels. Sometimes a person just does their best.
But you said something extremely important, especially those that can't read Hebrew or are just having a hard time with a long and just gets totally mixed up. It's just like, as people have told me, as long as you can say pray pretty often, you're fine.
Doing great. It's true. It's certainly true. We don't know where we go, and we just need to do our best. That's it.
Because you're unleashing something you wasn't doing before. It's positive.
If only your good desire. Rabbi Nachman says, no good desire is ever lost. Whoever the person is, doesn't matter where he comes from, doesn't matter if he's Jewish. Good desire is eternal. Your eternal connection to God. That's the way it is. Okay, so now we're doing a little bit of the Ari on Kiddush.
What page are you on?
Page Paybase, 82 in that book. Second column. That's the Knappenung that I want. Okay, so what is Kiddush? We'll get to Peppins and Joy in 5 minutes if you want. What is Kiddush? First, take it two hands from someone else. Hold your two hands.
It's ambiguous.
Yeah.
Unless you're a Simpson.
Have it in mind.
So you're talking about the Kiddush cup.
Yeah.
So you're not holding it like this, or how are you doing it?
You're holding like this for a minute, and then you're putting it in your right hand again.
Okay.
Unless you're left,
you pick it up with 10 fingers, right?
Absolutely. So if Nussin says you're accessing, says you're accessing this place, highest level. He said there's three levels. There's action, there's speech, and there's thought. Everything, speech and thought. Everything starts in thought. First thought is glimmer. The glimmer of a thought is that's called chachma. That means we bring God in the world through different levels. These levels, they're called sfirot, but sfirot means our ability to connect to God. Sure, I can't do that. There are different ways of doing it. One person connects to God by doing a lot of kindness, another person by having the right kind of limits. When you do whatever you do, you're going to go through a progression of these 10 levels. The first three levels is thought. So a person has limits, I'm going to try to do something. Then you get to a place where he's starts to work out what to do, and then brings it in. That's A. So then you have speech, and you have action. In Kiddush, you have all three levels. By Chul, you have all three levels. Shabbos is affecting all three levels of our Avodas Hashem. So when we want to grow into a new way of thinking, when I want to have it internalize a different me, and make that who I am regularly. I want to become something different, something better. So I have to start to work from below to above. Work on action, then speech, then I start getting the thought of like, I can do this, and how to do this. So that's what we did. When we during the Shemoneh Esrei, during the standing prayer, we grabbed action. Then we move on to speech after it. After standing prayer, the Baruchu, that's my media. And then what's next? What's next is thought. Thought is what we do in Kiddush. So when you grab hold with your two hands, what you're doing is you're bringing the three higher levels into, like I was saying before, things which are hard. My weaknesses, I'm bringing thought into my weaknesses. I'm bringing this illumination into what's hard for me. That's part of what Kiddush is. And that's why it's called Kiddush. Because I'm attaining a new way of thinking. A different way of thinking. A better way of thinking. That's what it says. And Nussin explains He says, you know, there are different levels, and you deal with thought. So there are different levels of thought. Then you have a person who's a big tzaddik. You have your regular guy. A regular guy has thoughts, but not secure thoughts. He has to believe it. He still thinks something else. So when you deal with a tzaddik, he can think and understand, why am I having this thought? What does Hashem want from me with this thought? And pick up the bad thought. That's a tzaddik that can really be on the level that usually you're not there, and they're sending you something to elevate. Most people, it's like he's not there at all. He's where the aggressors would say a mushroom. It's a very powerful parable. It's, you know, you can have jewelry that you think are gold or you think are silver. You bring it to the jeweler and he says, it's just a silver plate. It's a nice gold plate. Well, not so nice, but it's not gold. You thought it was sold so much. And really, you know, it's worth something, but not what you thought. You got an ounce of gold. So instead of having however much a pound of gold, you have an ounce of gold. Big difference. So the aggressor of sin would say the same to a person's life. My life, you don't want to go to the next world and they say, you thought it was silver, you chose the wet. Well, sorry. Not exactly. It's gold plate. It's silver plate. It's not through and through. We want it to be through and through. And getting it to be through and through is a very, very big work. It's a big work, and the most important part of the work is yearning. Because what I want, I get. If I'm yearning, if I want, that's what I'm going to get. So I really, really have to, Kiddush is a big time to wake up the yearning. I want, that's also a matter of thought. It's not a simple thought, but being also it's the heart. Where's my heart? Where am I? I have to wake up. It's very simple. It's not even so hard. Not even so complicated. The Rebbe said, a person, he's on a level. I have certain spiritual attainment. I'm on this level, I'm doing this, I don't know what, I'm getting up with my toes, getting up in the morning, I'm learning a lot, whatever it may be. And then, boom, he falls. So that fall, if he feels like he fell, that's arrogance. But it's coming to you, Hashem's just showing it to you, sometimes he's showing it to you and say, hey, you can do this, go for it. And you have to go for it. It's not a, you know, it's not just an amusement park. We're in the world. We have a mission to fulfill. So, you got something. Now get back. Go back and grab that. Get to it. Do your mission. That's our... That's what we're here for. Not here just to go through things. We want to make that goal through and through. Not only Go plate's great, but I want to bring it through and through. Silver plate, great. I want it to be through and through. I want it to be genuine till the very end, till the inside. Everything genuine. Everything the way it is. That's our goal. That's what we want. That's what we want to get to. So we have to just start again. It fell, okay, it's not a problem. I'm not worried about it. It fell. No problem. A lot of yearning. Tremendous yearning. Try to wake up that yearning. Try to remember. Try to be in a place. A place where I can be happy with a little bit of progress. Good job. Say thank you. Thank you very much. It's free. Just the sun. My company. I have no contract, no guarantees. Thank you, Hashem. That's a little bit about Kiddush. I want to change the way I think when I'm dealing with the weaker part, the kind of malchus with things which are hard for me. I want to change the way I think. I want to realize every little bit. That little step I can take, that's what Hashem wants from me. Nothing more. He doesn't want. Just drop it. Maybe I can. But a little bit more. And hold on to that a little bit more. So don't let go. Don't let go no matter what. Alright. That's what Kiddush is. Okay. And there are three Yud K's. Three Yud K's. Dola Rama Chazaka. Three Yud K's, they're lifting. It's like an elevator. Kiddush, there are certain things that are spiritual elevators. Kiddush is a spiritual elevator. It picks you up. Yud K. Dola Rama Chazaka. It's right.
Yeah. Right, left.
Small, right. Left and middle, meaning in terms of kindness, in terms of limits, in terms of truth, we get picked up. We get uplifted. We're picking up the cup. We're all, whoop, there we go. Picked up. Kiddush. Now it's time to pick ourselves up. We get these aspects of all these different bechinas all put together. We're all uplifted. So again, I want to put myself on a different level. I'm looking at things in a different light, in a different way, totally different way. Because when I have the mochim, when my head is on properly, and I understand what I'm seeing and what, how much every little bit of progress is worth and how much every little desire is worth, so I'm ready, I'm in a place where I can come to Kedusha. But if not, I can't get anywhere. No, I'm in the middle of the first paragraph, but I think I'm going to stop. So I'm going to do a little bit of Catholics of Joy.